morning.
Good morning.
This is exciting to see this many people after Easter Sunday, so thank you all for being here when you had nothing else to do on this rainy, cloudy, cold April day. As you may or may not know, today is Lay Sunday, so Rebecca is sitting in the back evaluating all of us and checking to taking notes. Hopefully you will enjoy what we have to say and what we have planned, and hopefully you will see why we were in such urgent search for a real minister. So couple announcements that are not in your bulletin. The Women's Association will be meeting next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock before church, so please, all the women in the church are members of the Women's Association, so please plan to be here for that meeting. We will also be celebrating communion next Sunday, and after church next Sunday, there will be a joint meeting of the deacons and the session council. So next Sunday is a big day. Also want to thank everybody who helped with, participated in, planned, cooked, cleaned up, ate yesterday's community dinner. I was not able to be here, but I understand that it was a success, and that in addition to the reservations that we took, we had about 22 walk-ins. So the publicity worked, and we were very happy to be able to provide that fellowship time for the community. So thank you for that. And I think, unless I've missed something, those are the announcements other than what's already in your bulletin. So please, again, as I said, check that out. Please join me for the call to worship. Astonishing good news.
Surprise beyond expectation.
Christ is alive.
He has risen indeed.
The grave could not contain him.
And the news cannot be hidden.
Come, let us worship the risen Lord.
We will worship with joy and thanks.
And our opening hymn is We Have Come Into This House, and it is on the screen. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, you have accepted our Lord's sacrifice for our salvation. By your power, you have raised him from the dead. You have clothed him again with flesh so that his disciples might recognize him. We humbly confess that while we know the story and believe it, in just one short week, we have let our lives return to routine and have lost the focus of Easter. Forgive us of these sins and enable us every day to reflect more deeply on the sacred story, that our obedience may be increased and our service more joyful. Hear us in the name of our risen Savior. Lest we forget that redemption is the biggest part of Easter Sunday, and because of Christ's sacrifice, we have been redeemed. Let us state the words of assurance. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And now, as we unite in faith with other Christians around the world, let us recite what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As you know, we've now come to the most important and fun part of the service. Before we greet God's family, I just want to remind you that after the greeting has been completed, the anthem is a congregational anthem because we're giving the choir a break today too. So we will be singing the anthem number 157 in your hymnals after we say hi to everybody.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I for this morning. The first one is from Jenny Reinhardt. It's for Alan Wigan. Alan's sister Dorothy, who lives in England, died recently. Just prayers for the family. The next one is from Kathy Segi for John Ryan. It's her uncle. Continued prayers, not doing well, still in ICU. Prayers for healing and comfort and peace. This is praise. The next one is for Don Barley. He's a friend of Kathy's. He was in a car accident on Wednesday. No serious injuries, but is shaken up. Prayers for healing. And this is from Kathy for Kathy Jo Cobert. She injured her knee in Chicago while on a choir trip with her daughter. She had knee surgery on Friday. Prayers for healing. I have two praise requests. The first one is from John and Carol Kane. Praises for the Glenshaw Valley's community dinner yesterday. It was a time of good food and good fellowship. Thank you all who made it happen. And praise that the two string orchestras from Dorseyville Middle School in Fox Chapel arrived home safely from a competition in Cincinnati. The Sinfonia Orchestra and the Philharmonic Orchestra both received superior ratings. Our granddaughter Skylar plays the violin in the Philharmonic. Praise that hard work and dedication are recognized. And the other praise request is from Kathy, all who helped with the community dinner. It was a very big success. A huge thank you to all of you. There were so many compliments from everything and so many special thank yous. Doug, David, BJ, Sue, Linda, Barb, Claire, and for anyone else that I forgot, sorry. God bless all of you. And there was something I wanted to say. I forgot it, so. The mind went blank. Would we all please rise now for our hymn of meditations, number 69, I, the Lord of the Sea and Sky.
be seated. Let us pray. Dear God and Father of us all, like the disciples, we gather together the week after Easter, wondering whether the resurrection was true, marveling at the possibility, and daring to hope. Like those disciples, we are sometimes afraid and sometimes full of doubt. In your boundless love, you appear to us in our fear and doubt, and you grant us peace. Today we pray for the many people that our world has no faith at all. Grant us the courage to live as witnesses to the resurrection of your risen Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Thank you for loving us as we are. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now it's time for the offering.
Gracious God, use these offerings for the betterment of this church and of the wider world for your glory. Help us to be generous givers, dear Lord, both of our money and of ourselves, that we might make a positive difference in the life of others. We ask this through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A lot of white shirts up here this morning. The scripture lesson is taken from Romans chapter 12. Verses 2 through 19. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." In closing, I'd like to say that Romans was always my father's famous favorite book of the Bible.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the sermon today is going to be a little different. We're going to start off with a video that we were shown recently. I'm not going to tell you what it was about because I don't want you to have any preconceived notions when you're actually watching this video. I'd prefer that you look at this video with an open heart and an open mind. And I want you to take into perspective what it says to you, not what you think it should be saying, not what you think you should be learning from it or grasping from it, but what you get from it first. And then we'll go from there. Hopefully this will work. I unfortunately, this is my fault. I gave Cliff very short notice about this video.
These are flyers for game night. I was going to put them out here in the lobby on the little table, but there isn't a little table to put them on. You need to buy a little table. A little table would be perfect right there. I'll bring it up at the next board meeting. Just one last item. Marcia and I thought that we should buy a little table for the foyer.
Do we really need a little table?
It would be nice if we had something to put our flyers on.
Can't we use the table that we already have? I mean, we have tables here.
Well, we could.
It's a little silly to buy a table when we have other tables.
I understand that, but...
Please watch your tongue, do not yell.
I was just talking about buying a little table at IKEA or Target.
Don't be condescending. Do you think we don't know where to buy a table?
Oh, no,
I don't need you to tell me where we can buy a table.
Is anyone else cold in here? Why is it so cold in here?
Maybe someone can donate a table. That way we don't have to spend the money.
Saving money, that's what we should do. Take away our money.
Melissa, do you know donate a little table?
I think Harry Stein owns the Cherry Cafe. Maybe he can donate one.
Could you ask him, Melissa? That would be great. Okay, Melissa, did you have a chance to ask Harry about the table?
Melissa, are you okay?
I feel like I have to do everything.
Why don't you call him? The table was your idea. I didn't think we needed it. In fact, I think this table is evidence of an overall systematic problem.
So, that's why you've been waiting to ask about a table?
It's so cold in here. Can we turn the heat on?
Heat is expensive.
I think we should save money at every turn.
I agree 100% with my wife. As I always do, my kid. Money on heat can be spent on a lot of things,
like this little table. We need one.
Wait a minute. Slow down there. There's a lot of variables that go into this decision.
Listen. I save lives. I don't make business decisions. I think we should bring in a professional. Someone who can really help us with this little table situation.
And I'd like to thank our congregant, Jane Grossenberger. Jane is a very successful businesswoman. Okay, we're going to talk business today. I have 39 dog grooming centers across 3 states, and we don't spend a penny unless it helps our bottom line. You understand?
Exactly. This little table is a business decision.
Still no decision on the table yet?
It's just a cheap little table. I don't even know why we're arguing about it.
But you don't understand that this little table is a very important business decision.
I'm going to go down the toilet. Is this little table going to help educate our grandchildren? No, I don't think so.
Okay, so we've got a consultant. His name is Jonathan. And Jonathan has a PhD in little table buying from Brandeis. So he knows what he's talking about.
I want to start with an exercise. I want you to close your eyes. Imagine you're a game night flyer. Where would you want to nest? And when you wake up, you will know if you should be on a little table or not. please make the check out to my corporation, not me as an individual. It's $785 an hour, but we went over the hour mark. So that's another fair dollar.
Sure that many of you have figured out what probably the basic message was, but you know that it was more than likely a teachable moment about the difficulties a lot of organizations have, you know, with sometimes making what for all intents and purposes what is a fairly simple decision very difficult to do. And I'm sure because all of us are different, we all have different perspectives and different experience, had different thoughts about what, you know, about what that message meant to you or what it said to you or what your thoughts were after watching that. I know for me, you know, it was a little bit of a PTSD moment for me as a recovering family therapist. My first thoughts were, oh my gosh, these people do not know how to communicate, and oh Lord, we need to start now. So my next thoughts were, and I'm sure probably some of you had similar thoughts about that, about, you know, these, they know how to, need to know how to communicate, and, you know, probably it either ended there or went a different direction. For me, unfortunately, again, because old habits die hard, it went to treatment planning. Okay, what skills do we need to work on with these folks in order to get them to learn how to communicate more effectively so they can get the job done in less than 9 months? Okay, so, but, you know, problem is, and then the next part of that for me would be to helping these folks identify what their roles are. A common part of that plan is to help, is to remind them that they're all a necessary part of the foundation of that group is built on, and to remind them that they're a necessary part of it as well. In Matthew 7:24, God talks about wise and foolish builders, stating that, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who has built his house on rock. Nothing works well, at least for a long period of time, if it is not built on a firm foundation on which to grow. For me, in our church, this translates into the fact that every single one of us are a necessary part of the foundation of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. We are all needed to make our church run smoothly and as efficiently as possible. And there's a role for all of us, whether it's big or small, whether it's behind the scenes or if it's on the front lines. This is an unnecessary word, but regardless, we all play a valuable and necessary role. And the roles are varied and unique. Regardless of what you think, we all have God-given gifts and talents. God did not make any one of us, in the infamous words of my husband, he didn't make any of us boring, drab, or awful. And every single gift and talent is needed to help make Glenshaw Valley accomplish all the work we do to support our community, provide outreach, and engage in fellowship and worship. Since I'm a huge fan of analogies, to help you think of things a little bit more differently, I think of a gas station. When we breeze into our favorite local gas station, usually any time of day or night, do we ever think of the tremendous amount of work that has to happen to actually get the gas from the pump so that we can take the 5 minutes it takes to fill our tank up and then be on our way so that we can go on about our lives? If you were to truly sit down and think about it, getting gas through the pumps is an enormous undertaking that demands hundreds of people and a vast array of knowledge and skills, starting from the folks who actually drill for the oil to the folks who transport it to your favorite gas station and the multitudes of folks in between. Glenshaw Valley is not very different. Granted, we work on a significantly smaller scale, but the need and the impact Glenshaw Valley can make in our community is just as necessary as that tank of gas. Please never think that you have nothing to offer. Every one of you has a special gift or a talent that is needed here at Glenshaw Valley. Every single one of those individuals in that video, while their communication was wasn't exactly effective, they all had a specific need and a talent that went to help that church and that board to do eventually, at 9 months later, get that little table. And I'm sure you've all heard Pastor DePoe say at the end of every service that you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Thank you, Dr. DePoe. Pastor DePoe, I think I just elated you a little bit there. Although, we do have future hopes for that. I've always firmly held the belief, and I don't think anyone else at Glenshaw Valley is here by accident. I have known from the first day that I walked in this church, which actually, truth be told, was an accident. I thought I was going to Glenshaw Presbyterian and ended up here. Oh, you too, huh? Okay, see, so I'm not the only one. I just chalked it up because I couldn't figure out how to read. But again, I'm here, and I don't think that was an accident. I fully agree or fully believe in the fact that God wanted me here and not up the hill. So I've known this, and it only solidifies the fact that this is why that God wants me here. That there is a need here that I am to fulfill. I've never had a strong feeling or sense as to what he wants me to do, so I've always just tried to help out where needed. We're all needed, though. We're all here, and we all have unique and special talents, big and small, that are necessary to the foundation of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. As we said in Romans 2, in Romans 12, 2 through 8, he says, if I can find it, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may provide what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I bid every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith, which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, he teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortations, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does act of mercy with cheerfulness." Again, we're all needed. We all have unique talents, big and small, things that might be overt or maybe a little bit behind the scenes. It doesn't matter, we're all needed. And in order for Glenshaw Valley to be successful and to be efficient and to be effective in reaching out to our communities and reaching out to provide the fellowship and the support and the outreach that we provide, we need everybody in order to do that. Never think that you don't have a gift. Never think that you don't have something that you cannot provide to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. We can all learn more effective communication skills. I mean, I'm sure that we don't have that issue. Glenshaw Valley doesn't have that issue to that extent. But the goal is simply just to try, to be here, to participate, because God wants you here. He brought you here for a reason. And you all have skills, whether you know it or not, you all have skills. And if you don't know where to start, just do what I did when I first walked in and said, "What do you need? Where can I help?" Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I ask that you be with us here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian and reveal to us, of all of us, all our gifts, and where we could be most effective in assisting you in getting your word and your grace out to our community to help us to figure out exactly what it is where we can be the most effective and the most powerful in transforming your message to our community. I ask that you be with all of us, and I ask this through your son's name, and I ask this through your son in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. That was.
Let's all stand and sing the last hymn. Blessed be the tide of Zion, 306.
Lead worship today. It was such a blessing to just be able to sit in worship. I don't get to do that very often, so thank you all. It seems fitting that I say the words of blessing that I usually do that tie directly into our sermon. Friends, remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.